The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And we're doing two episodes here where we're going to talk about extreme prehistoric mammals. I think everyone here already knows vaguely what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the creatures that came post-dinosaur that were just as weird and crazy and varied as dinosaurs, except they were, of course, mammals. They were the prehistoric mammals, the forerunners in many cases of what we have today, just earlier models, more outrageous models, gigantic models, tiny models, models with features that we either don't see today at all or we see just a shadow of them. And when I was a kid, I remember spending a lot of time in dinosaur books, of course, because I, you know, love dinosaurs like most kids.
Jumped into them.
And mm-hmm. And some of the books that I had, including the excellent Macmillan Illustrated Encyclopedia of Dinosaurs and Prehistoric Animals by Dixon Cox, Savage, and Gardner. This was one of my favorite books, and half of it is dinosaurs. Like, the first half is dinosaurs with all these beautiful illustrations of them and how we think they might have looked. And then the second half is all mammals. And with the dinosaurs, dinosaurs were great. Dinosaurs were awesome. But there was more of this division. Like, when you took in the story of the dinosaur, you knew that something horrible happened, something cataclysmic happened, and the age of the dinosaurs vanished completely. And that now there's really nothing like these creatures roaming the earth. I mean, yes, there are, we still have crocodiles and alligators.
Well, we see descendants of them,
and we see some things that remind us more of the world of dinosaurs than others. But when you look at the extreme prehistoric mammals, when you look at things like the giant sloth, the creatures we're going to discuss in these two episodes, it's weirder because they're closer to what we have now, but just as alien.
Well, because they are extreme mammals, and we'll talk a little bit more about what is extreme and what's normal, but they really do sort of boggle the mind, right? It's a wonderland of creatures that you just don't normally see out there in literature or in the media, right? Because dinosaurs are always taking top billing.
Yeah.
But we're taking the bones today of all these really incredible creatures, dusting them off, and we're going to look at the oddest parts of them, what makes them unique. We're going all prehistoric pachyderm today.
Yeah. Now, you should probably mention what sparked this.
Well, we both have seen the exhibit Extreme Mammals. We saw it at the Firm Bank Museum here in Atlanta, but it is organized by the American Museum of Natural History, and it has some amazing examples of these extreme mammals that we'll talk about. Before we get into that, though, I thought it would probably be good for us to cover extinction, mass extinction, specifically, because this kind of plays into this idea of why these seem so exotic and far removed from us. But the fact of the matter is that extinction is just not a modern phenomenon. In fact, 99% of all mammals and other species that have ever lived are extinct.
Yeah, and which really drives, I mean, it begins to drive home when you start looking through one of these books and you realize, oh, well, there were like pages and pages of different types of prehistoric horse that are no longer with us, just completely gone.
You know, I was thinking that, particularly as a kid, if you're flipping through that's gotta be really hard to get a hold on reality, because even my 4-year-old will say, okay, I get dinosaurs and I get this creature once lived. But what about a mermaid? Really, that could live, right?
Yeah.
Especially when you say something like, well, the Easter Bunny, sure, that's totally for real. But yeah, I mean, you look back at this past, which is just amazing, just mm-hmm. riddled with these creatures. So starting about 100,000 years ago, large mammals and other species began to disappear a lot more swiftly than normal as humans began to spread from Africa and other continents. Then the extinction rate sped up beginning about 12,000 years ago, and it continues to accelerate today. There were astonishing mammals that roamed North America until about 12,000 years ago. There were beavers the size of grizzly bears.
Yeah, the giant beaver.
And short-faced bears that stood at about 11 feet tall or 3.4 meters high. I mean, this was amazing. So besides overhunting by humans, scientists have proposed several different theories as to why this happened. Climate change, killer mm-hmm. plagues, a comet, right, impact, or atmospheric explosion.
Yeah.
Now, truth of the matter is, it's probably a bit of a combination of all of these factors. So it's not just humans, but, you know, if you've got a comet that is hurling toward the Earth, that obviously is going to take out a big amount of the population. And probably most famously, as you have already mentioned, 65 million years ago, dinosaurs, they disappeared in a flash, and it's thought to be that there could have been a comet, and then some of the atmospheric changes that followed that wiped them out.
Yeah, and it's these environmental changes, some of these theories, to me, are the most interesting, because you're looking, as always, you're looking at organisms responding to the environment, organisms responding to where they can get resources, how they can best take them in, and these forms evolving over time to exploit them. So you, with mammals, you see their maximum diversity about 15 million years ago during the Miocene epoch, 23.03 to 5.3 million years ago. It was a time of warmer global climates than those in preceding or following periods. Now, since then, global climates have deteriorated, and the tropical regions have shrunk. Now, tropical regions, of course, that's where you see the most diversity even mm-hmm. today. Like, these are, if you were to use some sort of like business model, I guess it would be like the capitalist wonderland of the rainforest, is where all the crazy forms can just run wild and go nuts. But then also the alternating cold and warm periods brought on by the ice ages encouraged the evolution of particularly large mammals, such mm-hmm. as the woolly mammoth, giant deer, giant ground sloth. And as you said, now they're all gone over the last 12,000 years.
Yeah. And in order to really talk about mammals, we should probably discuss what makes them uniquely mammals or mammalian. River dolphin, mammal, right? Spiny anteater, mammal. Bat, mm-hmm. mammal. Platypus, mammal. What do they all have in common? Well, they all...
got the milk.
They have the milk. They're all vertebrates. They're all warm-blooded, they all have hair on their bodies, and they all produce milk to feed their babies with.
Yeah, and these are all excellent design features, because the mammary glands, this allows a mother to leave her offspring in the nest, go out and forage, then come back and pump them full of super nutritious milk.
Mm-hmm.
The dense fur helps them retain heat, which is an important design feature because they're warm-blooded, and that in warm-bloodedness keeps them running at above environmental temperatures, so they can remain active for long periods regardless of the weather. The trade-off, of course, is that they have to eat a lot to pay the body's high energy bills. And also, you also see with mammals, they tend to have large, complex brains because they have to control an advanced nervous system and rapidly process sense data.
Yeah, and some placental mammals can nourish their growing babies inside their bodies for as long as 2 years. Now, mm-hmm. that's really important because that means that their offspring are born more fully developed than marsupial babies or ones that hatch from an egg. This is really cool. Whales and giraffes, they're just born with their eyes open, ready to go.
Yeah.
I love, I don't know if you've ever seen a live birth of a giraffe, but it is amazing to see because within...
It's like tent poles being born, basically.
Yeah, it's like a tent being popped up, and they're a little bit wobbly at first, but mm-hmm. it is, it's truly
amazing.
They
gotta go, because in an environment, especially if you were a prey creature, mm-hmm. Out there in the grasslands, you gotta be ready to go. You gotta be ready to just pop up and run with the rest of them. There's no just lounging around the den all day until you finally reach the point where you know, go out and get that job.
Right. It's where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly.
So what makes something extreme? Because it's kind of hard to say, like, oh, that's a crazy horn. Because within certain groups, maybe all of them have this type of horn on their heads.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe one is just, you know, four times larger than the next.
Well, I mean, extreme. Again, we have to stress, of course, we're talking about our standpoint, our viewpoint,
right.
Because today the idea of tiny little horses is kind of silly and ridiculous. But there mm-hmm. was a time when that was the model. So,
well, so you really do have to look within the group though to determine what is extreme,
yeah.
because you know each animal is going to have just normal traits, just like we do. We're an example of both normal and extreme
mm-hmm.
traits, and I'll get to that. But a kangaroo is a good example. It's marsupial, and while some of the smaller shrew-like marsupials that do hop, kangaroos are extreme because they're the only large bipedal mammal that have that pogo stick kind of locomotion.
Mm-hmm.
And fossil evidence actually dating back to 25 million years ago indicates that their ancestors, kangaroos' ancestors, did not hop. So most likely when rainforests gave way to dry, grassy plains, hopping became something that was selected for, right? Because you wanted mm-hmm. to get across as quickly as possible. And that is what makes kangaroos extreme.
It's interesting because you see the same thing in video games sometimes. They'll give you the ability to make your character jump. Which, if you were going to play it completely straight, your character would walk or run across the level. He would not jump like a kangaroo. But the design feature will often be such that there's no additional cost to jumping. So the player who's just focusing on getting through with the level might just jump ridiculously. That's probably also a ridiculous tie-in to make here. But
I don't know. It's a good visual there.
Yeah.
So I had mentioned that humans are extreme, and that comes in the form of our bipedalism.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, big brains before.
Yes.
Relative to our body size.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else, warm-blooded, differentiated teeth, five fingers and toes, pretty normal, right? You look at all sorts of species across nature and you see the same thing.
Right. Well, we're also, many of us, relatively hairless. And, of course, that's a whole side issue that we've discussed before in the podcast.
Yes, and it doesn't have to do with aquatic apes. Although, that would be really cool if it did.
Yes. All right, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to begin a 10-part countdown of our favorite extreme mammals. We're going to start with the smallest, and we're going to work up to the biggest on our list. So we're going to knock some of these out on this episode, and then the rest we'll knock out on the following episode. And I am going to try to have a gallery up as well, so that as you go through this, we're going to describe these creatures, but you're going to naturally want to see them as well. So I'll try to make sure that we have a gallery that you can listen to the podcast and go through that as well and actually look these things in the face. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astepro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back, and we are going to talk about the tiniest, teeniest mammal to have ever existed. We're talking about 1.5 inches long.
Yes, this thing is amazingly small, and his name is Batininoids, and this guy was very small. We're talking 0.033 to 0.064 ounces, with more likely we're looking at like 1.3 grams as the general weight of these guys. And they lived about 50 million years ago in what is now Wyoming.
Yeah, and the smallest, just so you can have something to compare it against, the smallest mammal alive today is the bumblebee bat, which is only slightly larger. This little creature here is thought to be a relative of the shrew.
Yeah.
And I love
this. Tiny shrew. If you have cats, then you've met these or pieces of these things.
Yes. I love this. Paleontologist Jonathan Block was just looking at some material underneath a microscope when he spotted a tiny, tiny fossil jaw and then realized that he was looking at teeth. And this is how it was discovered.
Yeah, this guy's crazy small and just and adorable. I mean, it's something that small, you can't help but find it a little adorable, even if it's kind of shrew-like and shrews are kind of ghastly in a way.
Yeah, but to think that it could sit there and run up the tip of your pencil and
yes,
hang out.
Yeah, that's how small we're talking. It could crawl up to the tip of your pencil and just sit there. It weighed as little as a dollar bill.
I feel like it would be a great riding companion.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, it would.
A muse, if you will.
But like a lot of these forms, this one went extinct. You won't find these guys anymore. And really a way to think about a lot of these forms is think of like the most specialized business imaginable. Say like during a boom time, say during, say the dot-com boom. You'll have like a very specialized website that comes out. It's trying to make money off of the boom. And then when they...
HowStuffWorks.com?
No, we've survived.
I'm kidding. We are specialized in the information realm.
Yeah. But you know, think of any kind of like specialized, particular, say like a bakery that only specialized in meat flavored donuts.
All right.
Well, great. You're going to clean up as long as bacon flavored donuts are the thing. While those are in style, you're just going to be hand over a fist. But when that goes out of style, well, then you're gonna either have to evolve into a different form or you're going to perish. And so you see that with a lot of the creatures we're mm-hmm. going to talk about in this. For a period of time, that was an excellent design, but when the environment changed, when the resources changed, when the basic game changed, then that form had to vanish.
If this was alive today, do you think that it would have, pretty high internet status if it could sneeze?
Yeah, if it could sneeze. Sneezing always helps.
Yeah. The next item on our list is the horned gopher, and I couldn't help but think about Calibus from Clash of the Titans.
Yes.
Yes.
The horned beast man with the whip. And of course, fabulously brought to life by Ray Harryhausen, who sadly passed away this week. But I can see this is kind of the rodent version of that character. The rodent we're talking about, the horned gopher, is Epigallus. He was 1 foot long, 30 centimeters, lived in North America, probably resembled a modern marmot, except he has long, powerful claws on the front feet and horns, a pair of almost rhino-like horns that are sort of rising up from the top of its snout. And you see these in the skulls that they have detected of these things. I mean, it's very obviously a pair of horns.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a mystery as to what they were used for. Probably digging. Some people have said maybe it's a mating display, but the fact that both genders have the horn would seem really unlikely because it doesn't indicate like I'm a male with high reproductive fitness. Come over here. So, another clue is that they have really small eyes, which would indicate the possibility of poor eyesight. Mm-hmm. So most likely they were hanging out, burrowing, digging a lot.
Yeah. Though, of course, with any of these things, you're going to find the various, people have the varying theories. Again, that it's interspecies combat, it's a sexual display, that it's defense. But yeah, the burrowing thing seems to make the most sense since this would have been a burrowing animal.
So it'd be amazing to come upon. I mean, because it really, those horns are just so unexpected.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what's so amazing to us humans is because we are used to our regular run-of-the-mill gophers. But it's probably just as simple as, here in the United States in the Southeast, I could care less about squirrels or they're taking over my yard. But maybe another person in another part of the world might think that they're quite exotic.
Oh, I've heard accounts of people who visit say Atlanta and they have they've lived most of their lives in a place that does not have squirrels. They come here and it's amazing. They're like, oh my goodness, look at these amazing creatures, and we're just like, yeah, those are tree rats. That's
it's varmin.
But Epigallus, a lot of fun because it's kind of like a devil rat, and it also you can't help but be reminded a bit of the jackalope, which of course is a false creature created through taxidermy that has the head of a jackrabbit with antlers, which is a ridiculous thing to see on a wall somewhere. But in this example of the Epigallus, we see something just as crazy.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Now, the next example that we have on our list is a tiny horse. It's called Hyracotherium.
The Dawn Horse.
The Dawn Horse.
Yes.
D-A-W-N.
Yes, and it's called the Dawn Horse because this is basically the earliest known equid, ancestor of all horses, but rather peculiar. You might not instantly recognize it as a horse, or if you saw it today, you might think that there was something weird going on in your brain, like you're having a Lilliputian episode. But first and foremost, this tiny horse was 8 inches tall at the shoulder, or 20 centimeters. Extremely tiny. This is just like completely out of scale with what we think of as a modern horse.
It's true. And I think about it as like, oh, this is something that I think a Russian billionaire would try to perhaps resurrect, right? Like, forget the woolly mammoth.
What are we going to do with the woolly mammoth? But if you could clone 8-inch horsies and start selling those, my goodness.
Russian billionaires' daughters would be all over this.
Who wants a pony when you can have an 8-inch horse?
You could have a stable of them.
Yeah, you could in your apartment in New York, you know?
You're right. Yeah. This is perfect for the apartment dweller.
Now, they were a bit different from horses in other regards as well. For instance, they had 4 toes in the front and 3 in the back. So they ended up having large, unhorse-like feet.
It's true. When you think about a horse, you think about that powerful toe with a hoof, right? Mm-hmm. Just not a foot pad. And these guys had more like foot pads for trying to navigate the terrain. You know, they also lived 50 million years ago during the early part of the Tertiary period. And they were
pretty widespread, like throughout Europe and Asia.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you'd have to go back pretty far to be able to check these guys out.
And they were probably pretty bright because they think they had rather large and complex brains. So they were probably very alert, you know, constantly on the watch because they're tiny horses. And while we would think they're adorable, the actual creatures they had to share the world with probably thought they looked delicious.
Probably. And speaking of deliciousness, they were vegetarians, so they weren't going after any meat themselves. They had a more complete...
Well, I would hope so, because it would have really put a dark twist on this if we finally revealed that they were carnivores. But, of course, they're not. They're vegetarians.
Well, now I'm just imagining, like, you know, this 8-inch horse, like, hanging off the neck of a giant creature trying to take it down. But they had a more complete series of teeth than modern horses, which were used to feed on those soft, leafy vegetation... Mm-hmm. Spots.
All right, so we've had three tiny creatures so far. We've talked about the the tiny pencil crawler. We've talked about the horned rat. We've talked about the Don horse. And now we're going to talk about the whale who could walk.
This was amazing to see at the Extreme Mammals exhibit because it is a whale with 4 feet, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And it is terrifying to look at because, you know, normally you think of whales as being these sort of benevolent creatures lulling around in the waters,
yeah,
but not able to actually scramble up on a riverbank or, you know, the sand and eat your foot.
Yeah, it basically kind of looks like a 10-foot long mammalian crocodile. Like a fleshadile,
yeah.
I guess. And one of the cool things about this one is, so a lot of our stories of sea monsters come from the fact that if you have a whale that is washed up on the beach and enough of its flesh is gone, and not only the whale but other sea mammals, if the flesh disappears and you're just looking at the skeleton, it looks like a drastically different creature. And you think, oh, look at this thing. It has this slender head and was living in the water. It must have been something fierce. Well, this is basically what this creature looks like.
Yeah, it just really looks like it could take you off guard, I guess, mm-hmm, you could say, which is the whole point of it, right?
Yeah.
It lived about 49 million years ago in the shallow seas of what is now modern-day Pakistan.
Yeah, because Pakistan, back in these days, is an island off the coast of India, in the Indian Ocean.
Yep, and it weighed in about 400 pounds. Pretty big.
Yeah. And, of course, we can look at modern whale specimens today, and we see the remnants of their legs, the remnants of their limbs that have not completely been the form has not completely been abandoned in their evolution.
It's true. The front legs of whales have evolved into flippers, and there's tiny remnants of hind legs inherited from their land-dwelling ancestors, which remain in the skeleton, but they perform no known function.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like the wisdom teeth,
yeah,
of the body.
So scientists consider Anglicetus to be an early whale because it shares these underwater adaptations. It had the adaptation of a nose that enabled it to swallow underwater, and its periodic bones had structures like those of whales, enabling it to hear well underwater. And in addition, its teeth are also similar to other early whales.
Indeed. All right, so this is the first section of these extreme mammals, but do make sure to check into the next episode because we're going to look at something that looks like a Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, this is just the tip of the iceberg. The really weird stuff is going to happen in the next episode. In the meantime, you can reach out to us. You can get in touch with us. You can check out the gallery that goes along with these episodes. And you can do it all by going to stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's the mothership. That's where everything we do winds up in one form or another. But you can also find us on Facebook, where we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind. Follow us there. You can find us on Tumblr, where we're also Stuff to Blow Your Mind. And our Tumblr feed is pretty cool, if I do say so myself. Twitter, we are Blow the Mind. And on YouTube, we have the handle Mind Stuff Show.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.